You're listening to The Naked Scientist, and now it's time to welcome our next studio guest, Ian Cross, from the Centre for Music and Science, based here at the University of Cambridge. Hello, Ian. Thanks so much for coming in, Ian. Now, Ian's been researching the definition of music, as well as the evolutionary origin of where music came from. So I guess my first question, Ian, is if we had to define music, what is it?
Well, it's probably not the sound of Mozart on a CD or the sound of AC/DC on a CD. It's not just sound, it's action, and it's probably not just sound and action, but also interaction. And we find that more in traditional cultures than we find it in the West. We tend to find it very easy to think of music just as sound, something you listen to for purely pleasurable purposes. But in many other cultures, well, even in the West, music does a lot of different jobs.
So what kind of jobs does music do?
Well, very simply, you listen to a piece of music. Why are you listening to that piece of music at that particular time? Probably to regulate your own affective state, to change your mood. It's doing something there. You, let's say, sing in a choir. Why are you singing in a choir? Particularly if you don't have much of a voice. And there are many people who sing in choirs who don't have much of a voice. So why are they singing? Because of a sense of a way that music has of enhancing affiliation, of allowing a sense of community to emerge in a non-conflictual situation.
And would you say, is there a big difference between listening to music and creating music? So, I mean, I would say you're talking about the moods that music can make you feel, and listening to different types of music. You listen to very get-up-and-go music in the morning, or, you know, quite sort of lovely, quiet, mellow music in the evening to wind yourself down. Is there a difference between the performing and the listening, do you think?
There is in our culture, and there is in many other cultures, but there are many cultures where people do and listen to music. There's no real distinction between the two. You just are musical. In the way that you have language, you have musicality. Some people are good at it, some people aren't. But everyone's kind of got it and uses it to receive and to create, to produce.
And so it's, the music and language seem to be a very similar thing. I take it language came first and then we had music. But is music a very ancient thing? I take it must be something that's been around in human societies for a very long time.
Certainly in our culture it would seem to make sense that, yes, we had language doing a proper job first, and then we've got music coming along and kind of legging on the back of language. But actually, music is probably doing stuff we needed more or less the same time as we needed language, in terms of enabling a kind of fluidity of interaction, and particularly managing situations of social uncertainty where no one's quite sure what's going on, situations on the edge. If people start saying something and talking about the determinants, the structure of the situation to each other, it could get out of hand. Music, in that context, in that situation, seems to act as a kind of lubricant to allow people to interact fluidly and easily without getting into conflict with each other.
What about a war dance, then?
Well, that's great, because you've got a bunch of people, all of whom are doing pretty much the same thing. OK, as a group activity, it's oriented towards the destruction of another group, but it's still a group activity.
Which do we think came first, then? Do we think that language came first and then the music cropped up? Or do you think people started making musical sounds and then developed that into something that we now call language?
I think people started making social sounds. And those social sounds eventually partial out, roughly, I think, when we get to Homo sapiens ourselves a couple of hundred thousand years ago, into what we might now think of as music and language, which I would think of as complementary components of the human communicative toolkit.
And if we take a global view of music and this, you know, the wonderful variety there must be out there of different types of music, are there things like, do we all think that the same sort of sounds are nice, or are there different kind of interpretations on what is a beautiful sound in different parts of the world?
Oh, extremely so. If we just like to play a little clip of Nadraya Balendro.
There's an easier way that the Americans could have got Noriega out, you know.
Sounds like a traffic jam, I'm afraid. What's going on there? Tell us, Ian, what is that?
Well, what you have is a group of Central African pygmies, with each with a little bark horn, Each horn can only play one note, so each person is playing only one note. So what you have is hocketing, antiphonal performance, one person, then another, then another, then another, then another.
Sort of like handbells a bit.
Exactly like handbells. You've got to be right on the button. Of course, the tuning of them is nothing like what we'd anticipate as being, oh, good tuning.
But there must have been hundreds of them. How many were there? Dozens and dozens, it sounded.
No, it's probably about seven.
Only about seven? Oh, yeah. That's quite amazing, actually. OK, have we got another clip? What have we got now?
I'm going to be honest and say I reckon that's probably Antipodean. Is it in?
As it happens, yeah, it's from the Northern Territories. It's an example of wanga, which is music and law and history and education and all of those things. It's not just something you listen to because you think it's nice, although there is someone out there who probably does think it's nice.
And they tell stories and all those kind of things as well.
Yeah, and specify property rights. What we think of as music in that context is fulfilling a range of functions that we would assign in our culture to the judiciary and the police.
I was going to say, we have a lawyer for that, but is it because it helps you to remember? Because if you put something to music, does it mean that you're more likely to get all the bits right because you know how the tune goes? And we seem to be very good at remembering how tunes go, but sometimes remembering all the intricate details can be difficult.
Yeah, that's true. The other advantage, really, of using music is you can dispense with lawyers.
That sounds like that's always a good thing.